We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Easy. Yeah, alright. Take a sip of this claw. What up, every? What is with my voice? I need to start drinking tea or something. My voice is going. The white claw heal it. Yeah, all right. Gotta be all right. What up, everybody? Welcome to another week of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale. It is our second show for the week, and this show is a little bit miscellaneous because still no boxing, and we'll talk about this in a hot second, no MMA for a couple of weeks. Maybe months, who knows? So we get to throw in a lot of cool stuff with these episodes. Today we're going to touch on the anticipated DJ Premier versus RZA IG battle that Dre has been going on about all day. And I agree with him, kinda. But we'll get to that. And we'll talk about IG battles in general. What's happening with the IG live trend? Are we going to jump on the train? Is it whack? Is it played out? All of that in the second half of this show, but the UFC gets bumped to the beginning, Dre, because right before we recorded this, the UFC announced UFC 249 from some Indian reservation in California is not going down. It is postponed, if you ask Dana White, and the reports have come out. This will not happen. This is the right outcome, right? This is what you said you wanted all along.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, Dana White has sat here and pursued to make this card happen no matter what. No matter that every other sport is stopped, this man wants this fight to go on. And I just thought it was ridiculous. I said it from the beginning. They even lost Khabib Nurmagomedov through a travel ban in Dagestan, so he couldn't even come out. So they went ahead and said, you know what? Let's get Justin Gaethje on 13 days notice without a full camp to fight for another interim title that Tony Ferguson never lost in the first place. All this is complete and utter bullshit. Then they tried to do it at Tai Chi Palace, which anybody remembers Tai Chi fights back in the day. It's on the Indian reservation about 30 miles south of Fresno. Even that is ridiculous. Then they have a co-main event with Rose Namajunas and Jessica Andrade in a rematch. Rose pulls out for undisclosed reasons initially. And then what happens? It is revealed that two of her family members have died from coronavirus. So now she's out of the fight. What would lead you to believe that the UFC would never check with Rose before announcing this card? They wouldn't say, hey, Rose, you ready to fight? And she says either yes or no, but they just put her name on the goddamn lineup? How insensitive is that? But so after all of this, the senator, well, one of the senators in California advised, it was like, hey, look, you're putting everybody at risk. Because just because you're having it on this Indian reservation where state laws and federal laws don't apply, you're still putting people in danger. Because guess what? In a fight, if somebody gets hurt, guess where they go? To the hospital. Not to the Indian Reservation Hospital, to the actual hospital. Then you're bringing in people, 12, what do they have? How many fights are on this card? 12?
12. Supposedly? Well, so 11 if you take Rose.
Right. Okay, but let's just say you had 12. That's 24 fighters, 24, maybe 24 cutmen, maybe then you got teams as well. So you're bringing in all these people to this place, and they're not just falling out of the sky and landing in Tai Chi Palace. They have to either fly in or whatever Dana White's fucking talking about, a caravan. I don't know what he's talking about, but you're exposing people to people and given the possibility of spreading this virus. So she's like, listen, guys, bad idea. I know you're trying to circumvent us, but I'm suggesting that you please not go through with this. Dana still, I guess, didn't listen until fucking Mickey Mouse came in and said, you know what? Fuck this. Cancel the card because everybody's at risk. And now he's saying that it's not canceled, it's postponed. Dude, we should have never got this far. The card should have always been postponed because the fight everyone wants to see is Khabib versus Tony, not Gaethje on 13 days notice. But further than that, when the NBA stops playing and Major League Baseball's not running and every other sport is like, we can't do anything, you say fuck it too. I don't understand the benefit in this. Like, where's the benefit? Yes, you're giving us something to watch, but everybody's unemployed. Who got $70 to pay for this shit? Ain't gonna have no fans, so you can't have a live gate. Where do you make money? You still gotta pay the fighters. Just postpone this shit.
Well, reports, and I didn't hear it from our side at ESPN or anything, but reports said that if the UFC reaches their quota on fights, they get their full $750 million, so that's where the money comes from. Look, if you believe those reports, I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of ESPN's deal and Disney's deal with the UFC. But, yeah, Mickey Mouse came through, brolic, and was like, no, you can't do that right now. Which is sensible because it's not on brand for Disney.
Yeah.
When you close down parks, when you close down parks, you can close down the UFC. It's not like they're your primary moneymaker. Like, so you come to that point where it was like, it's not on brand. We have to care about public health more than anything as a company. So it seems that this is put off. But there's words of MLB trying to start up in May in Arizona and just kind of quarantining every team in a team hotel for the beginning of the season. And playing in Arizona because they say the virus doesn't like heat. And there's plenty of that in Arizona. Now, yeah, ain't shit proven. I don't know the temperatures in China when this thing broke out. But I guess they're treating it like a flu virus, which is less likely to spread in very hot, very dry climates. So Arizona is very hot and very dry. So I think MLB is like, cool. It's you know, outdoors. Hopefully this will provide us some extra safety. And they're going that route. We'll see if the UFC tries to do the same. Or Dana White, he's Fight Island. He says it's a real thing, Drake. Fight Island. Oh, he will fly private jet everyone in. They can train there. I'm guessing live on this island. Infrastructure is being built, is the exact quote.
Dana White has become Ja Rule, and we have UFC Firefest. Like, what the fuck? Like, come on, man. Listen,
it's the Kumite.
It's Enter the Dragon. Like, they bought an island for that. Those are fucking movies. This is the real thing. I don't get it. First of all, the MLB, to even suggest that you can quarantine whole-ass teams, that immediately suggests you're exposing people to more people. That's dumb. And just the thought of a baseball that transfers from hand to hand, I mean, it goes in your mitt, but you gotta grab it with your hand to throw it. And how many pitchers lick their fingers and do shit like that? Listen, man, bad idea. Cancel it. We don't know the inner workings of this virus, and even though it theoretically flus die down in winter, which is true, but a lot of, if you're like me, I've had a summer flu before. Shit happens. Why risk it? UFC, on the other hand, it's like Fight Island. Are you serious? Again, you're going to put it on an island where nobody can go. Dude, it just makes me think that they are hemorrhaging money at this point. Without Conor fighting regularly, without a Ronda Rousey, without huge pay-per-views, it feels like they must be hemorrhaging money to be so desperate to continue to put on shows. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, Conor just fought, and that was big. I mean, they went a year and a half without Conor, so it's not like they've been that long without Conor at this point. At this point, he just fought, so they should be decent on the Conor end. But yeah, I don't know. How many pay-per-views would Habib versus Tony have sold?
I mean, realistically, it would have done a big number. But again, that's the other
thing. In this climate?
Well, no. If they would have done it on this, no. Period. Yes.
So even staging it now.
No.
Like, if Habib would have been able to fly in the Indian reservation, would have said, yeah, we're good money. It's not like it would have done that many paper. The reports of, yo, you hit, you know, A amount of fights, you get B amount of dollars, would make the most sense.
Yeah, I just,
because you only have so many weeks, you can't catch up on that.
I mean,
you can cut off weeks all you want and go every week with a fight, but what are you gonna do? Do Friday Saturday fights like they did that one year?
Yeah,
like those major events, Friday Saturday Sunday. Like, how are you going to catch up on these events?
If you needed to, yeah. Like, if you really needed to do this, if those
to hit that number, happen,
yeah. If you really needed to, at least you'd have an audience. At least. That's at the very least, if fighters could train and you're not putting people at risk, because there's nothing worse than being the sporting organization that trotted fighters out there and then one of them catches this shit and they die. There's nothing worse than that. So, like, to hit your benchmark, and I don't know if there's, like, insurance behind this due to a pandemic that you may not have to hit your mark. It just gets outrageous after a while. But what blows my mind is that the moment that Khabib could no longer fight, I just didn't understand the rationale behind Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. Because you've waited all this time to have Tony Ferguson versus Khabib Nurmagomedov for the title between two guys with ridiculous winning streaks in a fight that everybody wants to see because it's fallen off so many times. Why would you risk that by putting Justin Gaethje in there? Because Justin Gaethje, if nothing else, would be the home wrecker. Because if he catches Tony Ferguson and knocks him out, it's over. Like, that fight,
I think Gaethje might beat both of them.
He could. I mean, it's very possible that he could because his violent style of offense is tough for anybody to deal with. But the fact of the matter is, Gaethje's not as big of a name as Tony and Khabib. And yes, his profile will rise if he beat Tony. But why don't you just save that for Conor McGregor? Why don't you just postpone the fight? Because Conor versus Gaethje, if Gaethje beats Conor, Gaethje gets a huge rub. If Conor beats Gaethje, he's right back in line for a title fight. And Tony versus Khabib is a huge fight in its own right. Why would you sacrifice one? I don't get it. I don't get the rationale behind this. Pay-per-view-wise, it's like, Tony and Khabib will do well. But if Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder couldn't crack a million pay-per-views, I don't think Justin Gaethje versus Tony would even come close. why risk it? Go with your best thing and just postpone it. Khabib still wants to fight. Tony wants to fight. Fuck, pay him for staying at home and then you do the fight in August or some shit.
I mean, I like the Gaethje matchup. But then with Khabib, you get into the Ramadan stuff again, though.
Not in August.
No, but can he train for the 8-week camp?
Yes, he said he could. He said he'd fight in August.
Listen, that's not bad. Stuff isn't getting rolling again until August.
At least
if we're keeping it funky, like if you want to get into like a real good swing of things, August is probably your point. Because people still got to travel. They got to be. You have to get to the point where you can even allow people back into gyms, somewhat safely to train. So what? That's mid June.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Like mid-June, if stuff truly starts lifting around mid-May, people aren't getting back into the swing of things until mid-June.
At least. I know I'm not, like, we've already had this conversation, and it's almost like, well, you know, just because this gets lifted doesn't mean everybody's just jumping on airplanes immediately.
That's not the case. Like, you gotta have some type of buffer period.
Yeah, I need some assurance because, yeah, I'm married with child, and it's like, there's no way my wife's going to be like, yeah, go ahead, see you later, jump on the airplane, bring that shit home to us. Like, that shit ain't happening. So everybody knows, you know, you got about a month after the curve flattens and we see some regression before people feel comfortable moving again. So to ask people to have full-ass training camps, because you still got to train for the fight. Guys are like, yeah, I'm training. Yeah, dude, you're hitting a bunch of mitts in your garage. That's not the same thing. Like Justin Gaethje said, he's like, I'm not ready for a 25-minute fight, but I couldn't pass up on the opportunity. When people say stuff like that, when people say, like, Jacare had said in an interview, I got to feed my family, that's a fucking problem. The UFC should be feeding their family. They just should be paying you enough to feed your family. And if you can't fight because of a fucking pandemic, if Scott Coker could say, you know what? I'm going to pay you guys to go home. Dana White should be able to do the same thing. And now
I think Dana White said as much today.
Got to this point. It's April 9th. The fight was in 9 days, and it's now just getting the plug pulled. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think Dana wanted to pay them to actually fight, so he couldn't say anything to the contrary before now. There's a lot of fight cards canceled, though, if this is the wave. Yeah. So I don't know if you pay everyone between now and May.
I mean, I think if you... Okay, for instance... Like furloughs at companies, right? When you furlough, some people still get a portion of their salary and can still like file for unemployment and stuff like that. Furlough the fighters, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, pay them give them something because you can't afford it. You're a multi-billion-dollar promotion that grossly underpays your fighters. You can pay them something to keep them afloat until the next fight.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they can cut everyone a $50,000 check.
I mean, come on, man.
The entire roster just for 2 months, right?
Yeah, because these are only the fights that got booked. Like, anybody who had a fight booked and could no longer fight due to the pandemic should be paid. That's not that many fighters because a lot of these cards weren't announced yet. And I guarantee you a lot of these contracts hadn't been signed either. So the guys like Ferguson and Nurmagomedov and that whole card, pay them. You know, the other cards that got canceled in the past month, Pay him a fraction of something. I guarantee you, very few were getting over six figures.
Very few. Yeah, so, people, it might be a pay bump for some people.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you give somebody 25 grand, like, and they'll be fine for a couple months. And then they just get a fight. But, man, I just don't understand pushing so hard. Like, Trump, Vince McMahon, Dana White, same person. It's like the unholy trinity of people that just don't give a shit. And I know Dana's like, this is what fans want. I'm very curious, who would have bought this pay-per-view? People have been...
There are a lot of fans who want it.
Are they going to pay for it?
I would say people are creatures of habit. So if you paid for it through ESPN Plus before, yes, you would continue to pay for it and go about the same way.
But yeah, but if I'm a creature of habit, but my habit doesn't have any money to fund my habit, I can't buy the shit. If I'm unemployed,
it's true.
I can't spend $70 on a pay-per-view. I need to buy toilet paper or water, whatever else I got to do, because guess what? I have no work and my rent is due. And unemployment is very hard to get by because millions of people are unemployed at this point. To stage a pay-per-view, it's not anything that says thank you to the fans. that's a fuck you to the fans. $70? I'm stealing that shit. And if I get in trouble for stealing it, that's my excuse. Fuck you. Because you should have gave me this shit on ESPN for free.
For it would have done great on ESPN, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, it's like a greedy, I don't understand why. Like, even the WWE to stage WrestleMania for two nights, it was utterly ridiculous for them to do it. They pulled it off. Is it the greatest WrestleMania of all time? No. But at least it wasn't $70 a head, because if you had the network, your first month, you get it for free. Whatever dumbos out there bought it on pay-per-view, you're an idiot. But
that's their own part.
that's your own problem. You should be able to read instructions or something. But at least it was that. Like, a pay-per-view, $70? And this isn't like, this is fighting where people bleed on each other. For these guys, like, literally risking their lives. Because they risk it every day when they fight. But now it's like, not only could I, you know, get CTE, but I can also get a goddamn life-threatening disease? Come on, man. Come on.
That's scary. And then you look at the Rose situation. Two people pass away. There was a boxer as well, not too long ago. Had his father and his grandmother passed
Anthony
away.
Anthony Yardy, who gave Kovalev hell for 11 yards. Yeah, 11 rounds. Yeah, his grandmother and father passed away. It's like, come on. Because here's my thing. If you're living alone, right, and you choose to get some shit and then you quarantine yourself, cool. But we're talking about fighters with families. You got kids. Like, there are more people involved than just the individual. And especially in MMA, because you have teams and cut men. Like, what if your cut man is a guy who has it? What if it's the goddamn referee?
A lot of the coaches are older.
That's what I'm saying.
Coaches aren't 30 years old and in the prime shape of their life.
Like come on. There's no social distancing here. There's none of that here. Like, what if the judges have it and he sneezes? And you happen to be in that corner and you got the droplets of flu in your mouth. And now you're done. You got coronavirus.
Yeah.
Come on. That event doesn't help curb the pandemic. I guess ultimately is what I'm trying to say. Having that many people in one place does nothing to curb it. All it can do is enhance it. So do your part, Dana. You're rich. You have a nice big house. It's not too far from mine. I know where you live, kinda. You're good. Everybody else, they're good. Pay them. Relax. We'll sit here and watch, like, goddamn the 1999 Final Four and the 1972 NBA Finals and, like, the 1977 AFC Championship game. We'll live.
If we're keeping it funky, you put on a Conor McGregor, because BT Sports just did it. You put on a Conor McGregor, just, I think they played 7 of his fights in a row. Marathon. And you put that on ESPN, and then you put on a live UFC 249 on ESPN2 at the same time, or you could flip-flop them. More people are watching the Conor McGregor marathon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have star power. If you wanted to put on the, you know, best fights, they did that, I think, already. Best fights in UFC history, Conor McGregor marathon. You could go crazy with it and have, like, Brock Lesnar, all his fights. People with name recognition. You know, the best of Ronda Rousey. People are going to show up for all of Ronda Rousey's fights.
There are so many things that you can do with that robust fight library that you can focus on fighter. You can focus on knockouts. You can focus on the best fights per year. You can focus on the best fights per division. You can focus. There's so many best submissions.
That's what we have to do in boxing. We just did, heavyweight classics on Tuesday that I had to work.
It's like there's so many things that you can do to keep people somewhat engaged. Now, I say this because you work for ESPN, I work at DAZN, and we have this robust library. Does it suck that everybody doesn't have live sports? Absolutely. ESPN is going to fucking air a goddamn horse competition. Yes, this shit is rough. But to keep people safe so you can come back around, because listen, man, we're not talking about companies that are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. We're talking about million and billion dollar corporations. They'll survive for a few months. You know what won't survive? Everybody's dead and you have nobody to go to your games and your fights. Then it's really over.
That'll hit you in the long run. That's the key. You got to think about the long run. And as shitty as this pandemic is, and I don't know, I'm on day like 25 of quarantine or something, and I just know, and you constantly got to remind yourself that, you know what, there is an end to it. Like, there's going to be an end. If it's 3 months, if it's 6 months, yeah, it'll suck. But if we do what we're supposed to do, there will be an end. And then we have 30 more years, you know, Lord willing, 100 more years of sports without a pandemic canceling anything. And we'll be just fine. Back to normal. So it's just, everything's so immediate. This UFC was so immediate. If they fight in September, is it going to kill you? If they fight in August, is it going to kill you? Like, just wait. And then they'll fight for the next 3 years. And hopefully, you know, whoever wins, wins. And they go against Conor and you build new stars and so on and so forth. But it all work out if everyone just paused for 3 months. But we see that in all walks of life right now. Some people are just refusing to pause.
Yeah, people are stupid. Like, they say, again, the people are like, well, if they put the military out there, it's like martial law. And no, it's because you're fucking dumb. That's why. That, if that happens, it's gonna be dumb.
I'm waiting for people to say, look it, we told you martial law was going to happen. It's like, no, you went out and made it happen, idiot.
Yeah, there's a difference. I mean, there's a difference between, like, having the government make decisions for you because there's no reason versus you doing dumb shit that's threatening people's lives. And they're like, all right, man, as a last resort, we got to, you know, we're going to have to hold a gun to your head to keep you from being, like, a live weapon. Like, sit your ass down.
Yeah.
Sit down. Word. Y'all. Like,
but then that's why people are going to use all these 10s and 20s of guns that they've bought, Dre. And they have crazy large ammunitions, I guess. What was that? Mark Henry posted his guns the other day. Somebody else. I was like, yo.
Trying to figure out what you're telling people. Like, I got mad guns. All right, cool. Now we know where all these guns are. So when this pandemic is over, we know where the firearms are at. And
yeah.
I don't, man, look.
I try to tell people this all the time. I know people who used to rob houses. Like, that was their thing. They may have gone to prison once or twice for it, but that is their thing. And the first thing they always go and get are the guns from rich people's houses. Every fucking time. Your guns, then your jewelry, then if you have anything small and of value that they can take.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
People don't understand this, but they just keep collecting guns. They're like, oh, these guns are all over the streets in the hood. Like, yeah, it's because they steal them from you. Yeah. But, yeah, nonetheless, so we're trying to figure out now life. I wanted to see where your mind is, because this is something we don't know the end date to all of this, right? But clearly, there are plans for stuff to go back to normal sooner or later, whatever our new normal will be. Because it's never going to be what it was on January 1st. Maybe ever again. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ever dapping someone up. You might have to get the fist or the peace sign, my brother. And we just got to be cool with that. Like, you don't know. We might wear masks all the time, kind of like they do in Asia. It just might be a thing to always wear masks when we bounce. So you never know how stuff will change. I don't think it's ever going to be the same. But when stuff starts to change in terms of sports, how do you think the long-lasting effect will be on sports? Do you think we get fans in arenas this year, 2020?
Yes, I do. I do, but okay. Towards the end, yeah, sometime this year, I think we'll have fans back in the arenas watching fights. But it changes everything. It changes everything from a perspective of, like, simple things such as handshakes and being more cautious. I don't know if it necessarily will lead to, like, everybody wearing masks all the time. It really is dependent on whether they have a vaccine in the next year or so. If they have a vaccine, then it's like, all right, cool. Because think about it. We've lived through pandemics, you know, the Spanish flu, you know, the mumps, the measles, polio. There's so many things until you find, like, a solution for it. Then everything kind of sort of turns back to normal, but you still got to watch yourself. So I think the bigger – well, not even the bigger thing. The more interesting thing is, how will all these sports companies acclimate once the gate is lifted and everybody can have sports again? So, for instance – the NBA is, like, dangerously close to just losing this entire season, right? And not only...
Well, they're at the end of their season, though. Oh, but well, you mean, like, no playoffs.
No playoffs, no champion, right? Mm. How do you figure out what the lottery is for the draft? Do you just go off of the end records? Like, college players who didn't get to finish? So many things that are, like, up in the air. And then when the season starts again, which may or may not be like a preseason, you know, in September, October, with the season starting. Do you start the season later? How's it affect the NFL with training camp? Major League Baseball, do you just get an abbreviated season? Like, how does what kind of ripple effect does it have? In our world, combat sports, boxing, do you just super stack cards coming out the gate? Because everybody,
I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. I think people are going to be so hungry for that paycheck that everyone wants to fight. And so, you can't have the gentleman's rule anymore for weekends. Like, oh, this is Canelo weekend. We're probably not going to... No, it's just like, yo, we got to get these fights off.
Yeah, so there's, you know, them booking arenas and where these fights can happen. I mean, think about it. Music festivals, concerts, travel. There's so many things that are going to be backlogged. And when they everybody jumps back in, we'll talk about this IG Live thing first. The scariest thing when it comes to combat sports is burning yourself out too soon. By just putting on a whole bunch of cards, and then it's like 2 months later, it's like, well, shit. Like, we've ran out of cards and venues. So you still got to kind of pace yourself, but...
No one's going to buy a pay-per-view every weekend. That's the number one thought. So you can't even put on all your huge fights back to back to back to back. Because sooner or later, people don't have the money to spend $70 a week.
And that's where it kind of, for the Zone, for instance, is kind of beneficial. Because if you get the subscription package, we can just put on fights every fucking week that you're excited for. Like, we could do that because you're not paying a pay-per-view price. I don't know if that's the plan. I have no idea because nobody knows. But you might see a card with, like, Anthony, like Canelo and, like, Daniel Jacobs on the same card with Gennady Golovkin. Like, you might see these super loaded cards early. Then the issue becomes, do you set a precedent when you do that? Because fans get super excited and never wanted to go back to what it was. It's like you kind of don't want to set that precedent either. So I don't know what the new normal is going to be. It's all up in the air. But I think everybody just needs to relax and wait for that new normal to hit. Because as soon as the gate gets lifted, there's people going to be running out there just trying to hold on, have everything at once. And I don't think that's a good idea.
No, but that's going to happen this summer. There's a huge chance of the slide back and shit ramping back up again before it completely, you know, kind of like flatlines out. Because everyone is just going to run out of the house and go wild.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, day clubs, parties. Even for us, maybe fans won't be there for a while in sports, but media-wise, we'll be there, I'm assuming.
Maybe. It depends. Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know if I'm going to be traveling before the end of the year. I have no idea. Like, it depends on how bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like for me.
My job hasn't told us anything about, like, no one knows at this point, I guess, but how does a corporation like DAZN or Disney, ESPN, how do you open that to say, you know what, we're going to let people travel and not get sued? If they catch something. Like, how, I don't know when that date is.
You know, like, the number one place that's going to get bombarded when this gate lifts? The barbershop. Barbers are going to get crushed their first couple weeks. Holy shit. There's going to be so many people running to
get
the barbershop.
Some good gear.
Dog, barbershop, nail salon, like those services.
Nail salons.
They're going to get bombarded.
My wife is hurting right now. She is hurting because of her nails. Like, she had the acrylic joints. One, there's no real good way to get those off. And two, you can't do them yourself. So she is sick right now that she can't do her nails. At least she got her hair done right before the pandemic. But outside of that, this is where I'm super happy I went to the Baldy.
Yeah.
Because with the Baldy, good money. I'm growing out the quarantine beard. I could take that down myself if I wanted to. I don't get nothing fancy like you. Where, you know, I get the extra manicured beard. I don't do none of that. And you're just growing out the grays.
I'm growing it out. I'm just going to be a wild man. Fuck it. Who's going to see me?
Look, man, you look like Edge the other day when I saw you. You and Edge got the same wild beard right now.
The beard's just crazy. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I keep doing this. Every day, I look at, like, sneakers online, and I get ready to buy sneakers. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. What am I doing? Why am I buying sneakers? So, like,
that's my biggest problem right now. Because money is just stacking my bank account. Even though they made me pay rent, assholes. Nonetheless, the rest of the money, because I'm not going anywhere, is just stacking in my bank account. And, like, I realized, I was like, yo, I really want to spend it. But I have nowhere to go. I have nothing. Like, there's no reason for me to spend it. But I want to. I almost bought a pool table today.
Jesus, man.
Just to have it. My room is ginormous. So, you know, I think your room is just as big. But you know how, like, normal people have, like, the little couch and, like, a sitting area?
Yeah.
I'm not normal. What the hell am I going to do with a sitting area? I sit in my living room. So I was thinking about putting a pool table in that spot. So I was looking for pool tables. I might drop a cool couple hundo on a pool table. Just because. I want to spend money. It's stupid, but I miss spending money.
Yeah, I'm not tripping. I mean, I think about the little things like, all right, when this gets lifted, like, what a restaurant reservation is going to be like? Is everybody going to be rushing to go to the same restaurants? Is that going to be crazy? Then I think about stuff like, because, you know, Vegas is a tourist city and we have people that work in service for the most part. Is anybody going to valet park their car ever again? How comfortable would you be just giving some stranger your keys and he sneezes in your car and you come back, it's like, oh shit, Corona.
Oh shit, like the Seinfeld episode when the guy had the musk and it's stuck in the car.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the industry is going to change. It's like everything is going to change one way or another. But I think everybody just got to buckle up and just kind of wait it out. It's crazy, man. It hasn't even been... People are treating this quarantine shit like it's been like 3 months. Dog, it's been like 3 weeks. I'm fine. Like, again, I'm fine. I've told you guys this in the group chat. Haven't told anybody on the show. I haven't ate out since this shit happened. We're cooking every day in the house. Been cooking, got leftovers. I haven't had like fast food, delivered food. It's just, I don't know if this is going to be my new lifestyle. But I do have like I want Thai food really bad. My wife's like, I'm just going to cook it. Like, what is the new normal for a lot of people going to be? Maybe some of y'all learn how to cook. I don't know. I don't know what a lot of you guys do. I was finding myself going through movies, and I was like, man, I've watched a lot of movies in the past 3 weeks. Now, if this thing lasts another month or two, man, how much stuff am I going to catch up on? Which is good for me. I just can't imagine the average person who, like, normally burns through series on Netflix and is always caught up with movies. You're going to burn yourself out soon.
Oh, you got nothing to do. Yeah, if this lasts another 2 months, I'm going to get cabin fever, and I might be at risk at all point. Like, I just got to go somewhere if it lasts 2 months. Because at this point, I would have been quarantined 3 months. I don't have it. I just got to test the waters. Like, I got to, like, mask up, gloves up. I just got to Airbnb somewhere. Like, maybe I'll go to Boston, just Airbnb some shit. Get there, wipe it down, and just stay there for, like, a week.
Dog, how about Airbnb? Do you think people are going to be comfortable letting strangers in their house after this?
That's a good question, because I was thinking about this. Like, if I go stir crazy, I just want to quarantine somewhere else. Like, I'm not going to go anywhere and just run willy-nilly, right? But I was thinking, like, if I can get to a point where I can drive somewhere, or I don't know if, like, cover up and go to an airport. Airports kind of still weird me out. But I'm comfortable with being in my car. So if I can drive to like Philly or Boston and just take the drive, even if I want to drive down to DC and Airbnb somewhere and just quarantine there for like a week just to get a different atmosphere, a different vibe, I might think of doing that. But then I looked at Airbnb and I was like, I wonder if they're going to hike up the prices. Because yeah, who do you like? Can you clean well enough? Do you want people being in your crib in general? That's another source of income. So if people getting laid off, I'm like, they kind of need to keep these on Airbnb. It's a weird thing. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I just want to go in quarantine in like a month and a half, because it's not like I have to be out doing hood rat shit with my friends by my birthday. But my birthday is May 18th. Like, that's 6 weeks away. I would have been quarantined for 10. Like, at this point, if I had it, it's gone. If I don't have it, I really just got to be cautious of not catching.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
And wherever I go, just don't be around no one else. That's the other thing I caught a brick on. Like, I can't go to New York and stay in my apartment there because my grandma's still there. So don't want to bring anything to my grandma. Can't go to the crib in Puerto Rico because my grandparents are there. So even though it's a 5-bedroom house and they take up a bedroom, maybe a bedroom and a living room, I can't go there, risk getting them sick. So it comes down to a place like I can't even go and see certain family members during this shit.
Right.
It gets crazy. So I don't know. It's wild, yo. But I feel like once it starts getting hot, Memorial Day weekend, I think people, speaking in general, are going to be fed up. They're going to want the numbers. And regardless of what those numbers say, they want to get out and do hood rat shit with their friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's when the floodgates open.
Yeah.
The children of invincibility are going to be ready to rumble.
Yeah. So hopefully we start, declining here in the middle of April and stuff. So by the time we get to the end of May, we're trying to see the end and not in the and we won't be in the beginning anymore. So we'll see how all that turns out. We're going to take a quick break, pay the bills here, get a word in from the sponsors. When we come back, we're talking hip-hop and specifically DJ Premier versus RZA IG battle. You guys stay tuned, we'll be right back. All right, we'll get back to the show in a second, but with no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think that there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on. Or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including a $750,000 poker series.
So if you're into props and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather. Visit their website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Be sure to use promo code BLUEWIRE. Bet online, your online wagering experts.
All right, everybody, just that quick. Thanks for staying with us. We are back from break, and it is hip hop. I can't even talk. It is hip hop right now, and usually we start off our shows with these topics, but UFC and the cancellations and the pandemic kind of had to take precedent this week. But it's nice to roll into this, Dre. We were starting to kind of get a little bored with these IG battles, IG live battles specifically, between producer and producer, writer and writer. There have been several so far. Well, we saw Scott Storch, Manny Fresh. Saw Swizz Beatz and Timbo.
Yep.
And there's been a couple, like Neo had one against some dude I can't even remember, but I guess he's a good writer. There's been like these little pop-up battles for the past couple of weeks. But just when we thought, like, okay, I'm not sure if they can do anything else we want to see, announced was DJ Premier versus the RZA this weekend on IG Live. Seems like it's going to follow the normal format, 20 songs to 20 songs. You are of the opinion that it is going to be an absolute slaughter by DJ Premier on the RZA.
Yes. And I love the RZA. I love what the RZA has contributed to the culture. I love the early Wu-Tang stuff. But I also love Jason Kidd. And I will never say he's better than Magic Johnson as a point guard. I appreciate what Jason Kidd has done. But I just couldn't fix when I say it. Look, the 20 for 20 format helps because it's not a straight discography thing, because I think then Primo absolutely destroys the RZA. If it was 10 songs, I think it's really competitive. But I think Primo's, if he plays his cards right, because that's always a question, but DJ Premier is a fucking DJ for real. So I think after 10 songs, I think he's going to have a Golden State Warriors third quarter and walk the RZA the rest of the way. I'm gonna have fun listening to it because I love what they both have done. But listen, man, the body of work that DJ Premier has put together over the course of 30 years, like RZA's best body of work was from 94 to 97. Then it got really sketchy. Like,
okay, that's fair.
That's 3
no,
years.
No, 93. 36 Chambers, 93.
My bad. 93 to 97. That's 4 years. 93 to 97, mostly Wu-Tang projects. Maybe 85%. He had a few songs like No Hooks with Shaq, which I always thought was dope. Trace Leches with Big Pun, who still had Deck on it, was dope. But that's a small vacuum of work versus somebody that can go from like the early Gangstar stuff and stuff with like KRS-One to like Jay-Z, Nas, Biggie. It's just such a wide body of recognizable work. And DJ Premier has always been known as the producer that when he shows up on your album to give you that one song, he's bodying that shit. Nobody's ever said that about the RZA. Like, oh, I got a RZA beat. It doesn't happen. I love the RZA, what he's done for Wu-Tang Clan, but he's almost like, almost like a system quarterback. System quarterbacks win too, but when you play in the right system, you win games because the system works. But I think, like, if we go through a list of 20 songs, yeah, it sounds good in theory at first, but then it's just like, I think Primo's highs are higher than the RZA's highs. And Primo's lows are higher than the RZA's lows.
Like, I'm trying to see, like, Gravel Pit is one that sticks to mind. Gravel Pit was dope, far as just beat is concerned. I'm trying to see, like, some of his recent stuff.
Oh, RZA's recent to see stuff what is bad.
I'm going through... I started in 99, and I'm going through his discography. I'm not sure if he can play anything post-99.
That's my issue. Like, people are like, well, RZA's got the... I'm like, listen, I get it. I love the RZA. I think he's a phenomenal producer. What he did with Wu-Tang Clan was groundbreaking. Those dusty-ass beats were amazing. But we're talking about a beat battle. We're talking about two guys that are going to play to a crowd... Things that people recognize, and initially it's like you get Cream, and you get Protect Your Neck, and you get Bring the Pain, and you get Daytona 500, and you get Wu-Tang Clan, Nothing to Fuck With, one of my favorite songs, Incarcerated Scarfaces, All I Need.
There's a Biggie track in there, Long Kiss Goodnight.
But see, this is where it gets sketchy. Like, I mean, you keep going, Mystery of Chex Boxing, a lot of this stuff, like Triumph, a lot of this stuff is from Wu-Tang, like strictly Wu-Tang Clan albums. Then it goes like Criminology. These are dope songs. But then you go to Premiere. And you go like Mass Appeal, Dwick, Nas is like, Boom, Come
Boom's
Clean.
Boom's your joint though.
Boom is my
That's
joint.
That's not even fair.
Like Come Clean, MCs Act Like They Don't Know. If you want to go to a cut that's deep, but people will know, Recognize the Locks. Jay-Z, A Million and One Questions, or So Ghetto. I mean, Biggie, Kicking the
so
Door.
So Ghetto, so dope.
It gets ugly. Kicking the Door, like, it's not fair. If RZA played Long Kiss Goodnight and Biggie played either the Ten Crack Commandments, Unbelievable, or Kicking the Door, it's fucking over. It's not fair. It gets out of hand when you get to that point. 10 songs, competitive. 20 songs, gets dicey. It gets really dicey. Because, come on, man. Mass Appeal is one of the greatest beats ever produced. Ever.
Easily.
Like, ever.
Like, I think Primo wins. I don't think he makes it, like, a slaughter. Because, again, the format of 20 and 20 makes it, like, okay, you can kind of get through it. If you go best 20 versus best 20 and you sequence it correctly, you go, ooh, this is a tough one.
Man, like, I don't... Come on, give me... I don't have 20 RZA songs that I can stack up against 20 of these Primo classics. I've got 20 RZA songs that I like. But like I said, after you get through the front lines of what RZA has, and then it's like, well, I kind of like that one. Or, like, this one's dope. That's where you get. Like, again, I'm going to give you off the top. Cream, Protect Your Neck, Bring the Pain, Liquid Swords, Mystery of Chess Boxing, Ice Cream, that's 6. Shimmy Shimmy Ya, that's 7. All I Need, that's 8. We can go Brooklyn Zoo, 9, Wu-Tang Clan, Nothing to Fuck With, 10. I can't even go a little further. Daytona 500, 11.
You don't got enough meth. You don't got enough joints from Tikal on there.
What do you want? Okay, Method Man, 12. Those are bangers. Like, certified bangers. I'll say Triumph, 13. Now where do you go from here?
You missed some shit. They're all Wu-Tang. Like, they're all... We're picking other tracks from those same projects.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you might as well just play Enter 36 Chambers front to back and only build for Cuban Links and Iron Man. Because it gets real sketchy. Whereas with Biggie, I can play you at least 10 Gangstar songs alone and start this thing off. That's before I get into everything he's done for everybody else. I mean, shit, man. Primo, listen, say what you want, but the joint with Limp Bizkit was hard, and Method Man was on that shit. DJ Premier could fuck around and play Wu-Tang shit to the RZA. Like, man, listen, I'm just saying, like, it gets ugly. Like, if you say, okay, yeah, All I Need, that's his R&B banger. Yo, Premier's got Devil's Pie. He's got a whole fucking album, Christina Aguilera. Yes, man.
Why does he have a Christina Aguilera album?
Dude, and it was dope. He doesn't even need to play all that, though. Like, he could play Janet Jackson Together Again remix. DJ Premier, he did that. Big L, The Enemy, come on, man. Real Hip Hop, Das Effects, Mathematics, Mos Def. Dude,
yeah,
my biggest argument about DJ Premier is DJ Premier took Group Home, which was a terrible group, and gave them a classic with Superstar. Because everybody recognizes that beat. Showbiz and AG is the next level. Amazing. The remix, come on, man. I'm just saying, it's easy.
Premier got Heavy D and the Boys.
I'm saying,
yes, y'all on his joint.
Ooh. Primo, it's not hard to pick 20. It's actually hard to whittle it down to 20. RZA, after 15, you're kind of stretching to get to 20. That's why I said it's a Golden State Warriors.
But we saw the same with Manny Fresh versus Scott Storch. But Manny whittled down the wrong ones.
This is my issue with Scott Storch, though, where a lot of people gave Scott Storch credit was shitty co-produced, which made it not fair. And this is also not a song. This is not a Hit Factory type of battle. This is going to be I'm wearing my pajamas in the crib with a pair of Butter Sims on. Like, that's how this is going down. But
oh yeah, my constructs are out. Like, am I Yankee fitted?
Like these are, we're looking at bangers. And I'm just saying, like, the body, like,
because what New York State of Mind represent.
That's like, he's gonna hit you. It's like, boom. If you were, like, you know, if you were around in the early 90s, boom, Primo's got you. If you were under the mid 90s, boom, Primo's got you. If you were around the late 90s, early 2000s, boom, Primo still got you. And not only that, he's got you with songs and artists that, because again, this is gonna be something that the crowd's gonna listen to. It's like, oh shit, I forgot he did A Million and One Questions. Woo, that's Jay.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he drops Come Clean, though.
There are people that said, oh, well, Premier got real formulaic. Look, every producer gets formulaic. That's fair. Every producer does it. There's not a producer in this planet that didn't get formulaic at one point. But when you look at what Primo has done,
but
there's few beats that sound that he made with a water drop like Come Clean or a ticking bomb like Boom. Like, this dude was cutting up everything. And we're not even talking about, like, Ex-Girl to Next Girl, Gangstar. We're not even talking about, we're not talking about Royalty with KC and JoJo, which was a banger. We're not talking about You Know My Steez, which was a banger. I haven't even got to that level of the catalog yet. I think this is a good battle in theory because of the names that are involved, and I think I'm going to be extraordinarily entertained. But I think it's a Golden State Warriors third quarter where they come out on a 20-0 run and blow you out. It's competitive early, but that's why you play the battles. Maybe DJ Premier will have a recency bias and play a bunch of shit from, like, the Prime albums. And he'll fuck it up.
Nah.
But I think if I'm going off the top of my head, I was just like, as soon as I saw the battle, because I did the same thing. I was like, oh, this is going to be competitive. And I started going through down my Primo plays. I was like, oh, shit, it's not really that competitive.
Not if you go full catalog. Yeah, full catalog is just, it's overwhelming. 20 to 20.
And then you have to question this. Does the RZA recognize what his best work is, or is he gonna start fucking playing movie soundtrack stuff and Ghost Dog?
That's Ghost Dog. Yeah, that's where you go that could go off the ledge where you try to, you know, overthink the battle.
It's like,
The Evils.
Come on, man. Three the Hard Way by Hamadia. Like, he produced shit for Lady of Rage. Like,
D'Angelo Lady is a solid fucking R&B track.
I mean, The Militia, like, again, I said Ex-Girl, Next Girl, like, Take It Personal, like, Code of the Streets. This is just Gangstar stuff. A Long Way to Go, Soliloquy of Chaos. One of my favorite Primo beats, which he probably won't play because there's not enough room, is J with the Damage and Afu Ra's Mental Stamina. Or The Bitches.
Oh, yeah, I just passed that one.
Like, The Bitches? The horns on The Bitches? Oh, my God. Second Childhood Nas, crazy. I always thought Second Child was a super underrated Primo beat. But that's not going to make the battle. It doesn't need to. Because there's so much work here. It's like, I got work. Got a ton of work. Living Proof, Group Home. Come on, man. Sixth Sense with
Friend or
with
Foe. Common.
Sixth Sense, Common. I remember when that dropped. You're playing yourself. J-Root. Man, it gets ugly at a certain point. The only way Primo could lose is if he beats himself. There's just no way I could see 20 tracks from the RZA that could compete with what I would say is like 30 to 40 either classic or certified bangers from DJ Premier. It's out of control. But all that to say is I love this battle. Like, I love that this is happening, but don't make a habit out of this shit. Like, don't...
I mean, it's already a habit out of it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, look, man, I don't want to see, like... Like, the Scott Storch, Manny Fresh thing was like, why? And people are like, well, Scott Storch got some heat. Scott Storch did not really do that much by himself. And Manny Fresh, yeah, okay. I would have rather seen, like, Manny Fresh versus Beach by the Pound or some shit like that, but whatever.
All right, so this is where we come to next. If this trend has to keep going, and there's more weekends, of course, because we're quarantining. Who would you want to see? What is that pair where you're like, yo, this would be a dope producer versus producer, or writer versus writer? Who would you want to see in a battle?
See, this is fun, because there are this is a similar battle to Premier and RZA, but I think the artist I'm going to name walks the other artist if you really will it down. Pharrell versus Kanye. Pharrell walks Kanye in this battle. Walks him.
Okay, I was going to put Dre and Kanye together. I like Pharrell and Kanye even better, though.
Listen, I was really thinking about this the other day.
Pharrell would play some weird shit, like Happy, though.
Listen, man. Pharrell could play like Noriega's Super Thug.
Unfair, because that's the Neptunes. It's him and Chad.
It's still Pharrell. It's his body of work. Like, Pharrell could play Lord Willing. Pharrell could play Grinding. There's so much shit that... Like, Pharrell's body of work in R&B and hip-hop is...
He gave Timberlake some joints, too.
I'm telling you.
The NSYNC joint is fucking crack if it's just a beat.
He walks Kanye. It's again, starts off Kanye really strong. Kanye got some joints. He does.
You know what? I listened to Ultra Light Beam again today, and I know you don't like that album. That beat is phenomenal.
I like that song. I'm just saying, like...
That beat is phenomenal. What Kanye's highs are really, really high.
No, I agree, but that's why I said it's the same thing with RZA. I agree with you. Like, one of my favorite Kanye beats is This Can't Be Life. Straight up soul sample.
Oh, yeah.
Like... I agree with you, but Pharrell digs into the bag and is like, all right, cool, you want hits? Holla back, girl. Boom. Smack you in the face with that. You're fucking in trouble already. Like Pharrell...
I don't know. I think Kanye could pull out some...
Come on, man.
You throw Run This Town, he's smacking the shit out of Holla Back Girl with Run This Town.
He's not, though. He's not.
I don't agree there.
I'm saying he's not Pharrell, for this reason. Pharrell's body of work... Pharrell's body of work, period, is unbelievable. And puts him in the conversation for one of the greatest producers of all time, flat out, period.
He would have to break out some NERD shit for me to go crazy. I mean,
he's going to play that. But, I mean, drop it like it's hot? Are you serious? Like, if you're going hits, dude, Kanye's in trouble against Pharrell.
Jesus walks. 2020, if we're battling 20 and 20, nah, Kanye might get him.
I don't think so.
If you go top 20, top 20?
No. And I love
that's a good battle.
I love Kanye's early work, but I'm saying you do a beat battle. Because again, I mean, not a beat battle. We're doing a battle with songs with a bunch of fans, like crowd is like watching. This isn't like a Primo RZA battle where you can go into a deep cut and people are like, oh, that's shit. This is like hits, right? This is hits and things that people recognize. And when that happens with Pharrell... Because everybody forgets all of the things that Pharrell has done. And he'll play something. Because everybody, like, you know what Kanye
Pharrell will throw Rump Shaker out there. And people are like, yo.
That's what I'm saying. That's where it gets out of control.
That's where it gets crazy.
For the most part, there's not too many things that Kanye's produced. And you're like, oh, he produced that? It doesn't really happen. You kind of know what Kanye's produced. Like, you know that body of work. So there's a ooh factor, but there's not a wow factor. With Pharrell, there's a fucking wow factor. Like, oh shit, he produced that? Because it was a time where Pharrell was doing shit and you didn't really know it was Pharrell. Like, you weren't aware unless you were, and on top of that, it's like, it is happy. It is like the recent stuff. Like, it's hard. Like, Kanye now, he couldn't really pull up too many things now that have the hit factory that Pharrell has for as long as Pharrell's had it. There's great things here. This really
peppered in, yeah.
But I think
that's one hell of a battle.
Yeah, that's my bad.
I don't think Pharrell walks off on him. No, like, I'm thinking about it. Damn.
I think he runs him down late. I think it's, again, competitive early. Because, again, the other thing with Kanye has, he's got a lot of the hip-hop heads because of the soul samples, right? And it's like, cool, great soul samples. And he hooks a lot of us with that. Then it gets like, you know, Flashlights, I thought was a fucking banger. And like, you can't tell me nothing. But the thing about those songs is they're big, but they're not bigger than Pharrell's big. Like, Pharrell's big is like out of the stratosphere big. Like, almost untouchable big. Because, like, somebody mentioned, like, Kanye West versus Quincy Jones. Like, you fucking serious? Like, Quincy Jones.
That's not even the same thing. Yeah, like.
It's like, come on, man. Like, you can't.
That's composing versus, for the long part of his career, Kanye was just a producer. Like, this is someone who composed music. Like, Quincy's a different stratosphere.
It's just, but that's the thing about Pharrell. Like, people don't give Pharrell credit. Like, he ain't just producing. He's playing. Like, dude. I mean, excuse me, miss. I mean, Allure. Like, it gets out of control with Pharrell. It really does, because people don't really recognize the body of work that he's had. I had to really, like, dog, you play a Kanye joint, and then Pharrell walks in and starts playing front. What? On the hip hop side? What? or Kanye plays like Power, or Kanye plays, I don't know, something that he's on that he produced, and then here comes Pharrell with Daft Punk's Get Lucky. What? Are you kidding me? I mean, we're talking about a guy who has this is it's scary. Like, even if he was just like, you know what, I'm gonna play like a super pop song that Kanye can't compete with, Blurred Lines. I hate that song, but that song, massive, huge.
That song was huge. I wouldn't want to see that in a battle atmosphere.
I'm just saying. If he
that's where you lose the crowd. Like, you overthink it. What crowd? You can't just go straight like Bobby. Like, you know, the IG crowd.
The crowd of public opinion. Because Pharrell is so big that people that would tune into this battle aren't just a bunch of black folks. Like, this battle this weekend with RZA and DJ Premier are going to be a bunch of hip-hop heads. Pharrell will get, like, the teenage white girls in the battle and the soccer moms. That's what I'm saying. It gets out of control, the people that he reels in by doing this shit. Scary. Scary stuff, man. It's
real. See, that was such a good battle. Yeah. That's tough. The only other battles I could think of when I was thinking of it was song for song, like hit for hit. Like a straight, like, Beyonce-Rihanna battle would be dope.
A lot, yeah. You know, and that's a funny one, too, because I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, damn, I'd probably pick Rihanna. Me, personally. I don't think Rihanna would win.
Yeah, like, I'm not, like, a huge Beyonce person, but she could throw in, like, Destiny's Child, which kind of starts, like, getting shit together, but Rihanna got some joints, and Rihanna's EDM hits are fucking insane.
Oh, man.
Like, I found Love in a Hopeless Place. Like, you throw that on. Oh,
man.
Listen. Oh, come on. What? That's a closer battle than a lot of people would give credit for.
Man, Rihanna's got some joint. Like, I've said this before. I respect what Beyonce does, but I actually enjoy Rihanna's music. Like, I listen to Rihanna's album.
Yeah.
Like, dude, come on.
It's a great
man.
Way to put it. Yeah.
Umbrella is a band. Like, it's, dude. She like
it, without Destiny's Child, I'm not sure Beyonce's standing on her own too against Rihanna.
Nah, she got the girl anthems, but dog, I'm just saying from a hit standpoint, and then again, like I mentioned with Premier and the RZA, when it comes to like sheer variety of different kind of songs, man, it gets ugly with Rihanna. But that's just me.
Yeah. I think
there's too many stands for Beyonce for Rihanna to just kind of walk off and win. But woo, that dude,
that'd be a good one though. I think Rihanna would get that. Like.
I mean, I'm not saying that she would. It's just Rihanna. Like, a lot of people, like, I thought she was a hit. Like I've told y'all this before. Like, I don't listen to rap all day. Like, there was a time when Rihanna first came out, I was like, ah, she's whack. Like, Pond the River Rihanna. And then I just wouldn't listen to her because I just thought she was like cookie cutter and whack. Then I heard Umbrella and I was like, oh, this is kind of hard. And then it was just like from that point, I was like, oh my, Rihanna got some hits. Like, Rihanna got some straight up hits. Like, Love in a Hopeless Place. I was like, oh my god. This is a banger.
That's so fire. Like, that right there, that's hard to top.
Yeah, she's got work. Rihanna has straight up work.
Like, so I mentioned it earlier with the Kanye. The Run This Town is incredible.
Run This Town is incredible. I love that song. I just when you battle somebody like Pharrell and you got to deal with that audience that comes with Pharrell and is cheering him on. Oof.
Yeah.
Because again, like I mentioned, Holla Back Girl. People forget how big that song was. You couldn't get away from Holla Back Girl.
No, that shit was everywhere.
And then you go to
Deep Cuts. The Daft Punk song was everywhere too.
That's what I'm saying. Like Get Lucky. Come on, man. Like if Pharrell just wants to skate on you, it's a problem. It's just it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And he, I mean, whew, man, there's like, he wants to go deep cut. All right, sorry, Pharrell wants to go deep cut. All right, I'm playing Suicide off of My Name with Pusha. That's hard. Like,
oh, super tough. He like, crushed that album.
Like, Los Awesome with Schoolboy Q. He has like deep, 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 deep cuts. But then he has like Ed Sheeran, like Sing. It's stupid. Ooh. It is stupid what this man has.
Oh, and that's like my secondary, and I wish Justin Ivey was here chopping it up with us. I'll probably ask him in the group chat after this. Secondary underneath Battle would be, and these are crews, so they don't count necessarily, but Dungeon Family versus 3-6 Mafia.
I'd take Dungeon Family in a walk, but Justin Ivey might disagree. But
I think a lot of people disagree. 3-6 got some joints.
They do, but it's Outkast. It ends there. I see it no other way.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean,
I'm just saying.
Dungeon Family.
It's Outkast. Like, it's Outkast, and then it's like
Goody.
It's Goody. Goody. Mom's
in there. And then, some crazy
listen,
shit.
Man, I say this all the time. And then you just say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm playing Holiday. I'm playing Watch for the Hook. Woo. Watch for the Hook. I love it. Like, Watch for the Hook? Come on, man. Dungeon Family was bodying shit. Oh, and another song of Pharrell's that would just turn up and just make you want to knock shit over? Kendrick Lamar's All Right.
That was okay. An anthem. Yep, yep.
Dude.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. The horns on that are bananas.
Yeesh. It's rough. But if there was like
the early Ludacris shit too, I'll throw on.
It's listen.
Oh.
It's
Pharrell got joints.
He got a lot. You gotta, I mean,
I refuse to disrespect my boy Chad Hugo, though.
No, you can't.
I gotta mention him in this. So just let it be known. A lot of that is Neptunes, but it counts.
Yeah, it's just, again, that's all I'm saying. There's other shit like 702's I Still Love You. Like, people forget about that song from Pharrell.
Wowzers.
That's what I'm saying. He'll play something and everybody will go, oh, wait, I forgot about
that. Pull that from?
Like, woo. Like, that's a cut. And that's why. That's my thing about going back to the Premier RZA battle is I think that Primo can play stuff and people go, oh, shit, because there's a whole lot of that in Premier's catalog, whereas RZA, you kind of know where it's all coming from. He's not coming out of left field with a song that you're like, damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that shock factor is huge in these battles.
Yeah, man, you got to, like, that's why the John to Austin Neo battle was actually so close is because John to Austin wrote so many joints.
That's who it was. Yeah, John to Austin. Nah, he's wrote a ton of shit.
Now, I know you have this on the list because I want to bring it up on this list is like when people talk about battles and all of a sudden like your boy The Weeknd came out his neck and said he was offended by Usher lifting his falsetto from Climax. Listen, man, this is why I say all y'all don't need to battle because The Weeknd has no business going anywhere near Usher in a battle. You know who has business going near Usher in a battle? And you'll appreciate this, Kel, because it'll be... It's not a walk.
Chris Brown. This is our endless battle. Exactly.
Brown. That's only...
Chris Brown beats Usher in a battle.
Don't do this. He doesn't beat Usher in a battle. But...
I ain't going to say he watches him.
Nobody gets
but
watched.
But he beats Usher in a battle.
Nobody gets watched.
No, no one gets watched.
Because they both they got straight up hits. Like, they got...
Yeah.
Because Usher pulls out...
Chris beats Usher, though.
No. Stop.
20 for 20? Chris 20 beats
for
Usher.
20. Like, yeah?
Usher ain't got 20.
Are you serious?
Usher running out of steam at 13.
You're nuts.
Yeah.
You're absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Against Chris?
Yes, man.
Against Chris, he's run out of steam at 13.
Dog, are you serious?
You want to talk about Golden State Warriors?
Come on, man. Are you serious? What is Chris
He's
Brown?
Getting smacked around 13, 14.
What are Chris Brown's biggest bangers right now? In the last, like what are his big, like, super big hits?
In the last couple of years?
Yeah.
Loyal... was a while ago. Let's Boy, see.
It was big, yeah. These hoes ain't that was like 5 years ago, but yeah, okay. Carry on.
Yeah, Deuces was 2011. I'm just looking for the recent ones. These are all out of order. The shit, him and Chris Brown, or him and Drake are dancing in a video. In a video.
I love that song.
No Guidance.
Yeah, I love No Guidance. Yeah.
No Guidance. Pills and Automobiles was 2 years ago.
Pills and Automobiles was like not that big. But all right, keep going.
How many do you want? That's like five more than Usher.
But here's what I'm saying. Like, all right, I'm just going to do this off the top of Usher. And then I'm going to start looking. I'm going to go The Many Ways. I'm going to go Nice and Slow. I'm going to go Think of You. Can You Get With It? My Way. You Remind Me. You Got It Bad. Burn. Yeah. Confessions. My Boo.
My Boos get washed in this battle. But sure.
I'm just talking about hits. Loving This Club. Then we're going to talk about
Around 11.
Oh My God. Shit. These are just Usher songs. We can put Climax on there. If you want to go recent, you can go No Limit with Young Thug. Then you want to do like I Need a Girl Part 1 and 2. All right, cool. We can do that. Lovers and Friends. All right, cool. We can do that. Did I say yeah already? I don't know if I did, but it doesn't matter because it was fucking massive. Like, keep going. New Flame with Chris Brown. All right, cool. I could do your own song. Cool. Matrimony with Wale. All right, cool. We can do that.
Yeah.
Usher got.
So you got.
It's not.
I'm telling you, Chris got No Guidance. Loyal. Look at Me Now, which was big. AO. Deuces. Kiss Kiss. Run It.
What was bigger than Yeah?
Let's see. Oh, bigger than Yeah? These Hoes Ain't Loyal is pretty big.
Bigger than Yeah?
I don't.
Or Oh My God?
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was bigger than Oh My God.
I'm just saying, like, I'm going like.
It was big.
Usher?
It was bigger than Oh My God. Usher has a couple of those EDM hits too.
That's what I'm saying.
I just can't name them off the dome.
I'm just saying.
But if you want to go EDM Chris versus EDM Ush.
Like my favorite.
Chris got a couple joints too.
I love Chris Brown's Beautiful People.
Take You Down is on here.
Chris Brown's Beautiful People is a banger.
Yeah.
But like,
there was some shit that was in like a Double Mint commercial that was huge.
I forgot a Pharrell banger with Usher. You Don't Have to Call.
Oh, You Don't Have to Call was dope.
Was it dope? I mean, these are, okay. When we talk about hits again, Usher topped the charts with like a majority of the songs that I'm talking about.
Turn Up the Music. Sorry. That was the
That's cool.
Little joint.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it was five times platinum. Five.
Yeah.
Five. Huge. Usher went
Get Like
diamond.
Me.
Listen, man, Chris Brown's got some shit. But I just think like Usher's highs were like not only highs, but they're like sentimental highs because Confessions got people through some shit. And I don't even really like that album. I just know the significance of the album.
Chris Brown got No Air with Jordan Sparks. That was pretty big.
Come on, man. Are you serious?
Forever was that joint that was in the Double Mint.
Can you put that? Can you put it with like You Got It Bad or You Don't Have to Call or You Remind Me?
Oh, for those, I'm putting Run It. Kiss Kiss.
They all get, early they all get watched by Usher. Usher's Confessions album watches all that shit. And again, I don't even like that.
That's how if we go in 20 tracks for 20 tracks, Chris go 20 strong.
I think
Usher falls around 13.
Nah, man. They both go 20 strong. I think it's competitive. And I think it'll depend on the audience and who picks. There is no wash in this one. I pick Usher because I think the
level, no one's getting washed.
I think the level of significance, because dude, even like Loving This Club. That was a number one song. And that was like recent. Again, we're talking like Chris Brown has longevity, but Usher's got longevity. Usher's still fucking here. Why? I don't know. But he's still here. Still here making music. Hot Toddy, which was not like a huge song, but it existed.
God, I hated that song.
I hated it
but
too.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. It was a hit, but I can't knock that.
Like, dude, you play I Need a Girl Part 1 and 2? What? That was trouble.
Usher I Need a Girl was dope.
But
if Chris Brown features, then like if we go, I mean, can we play features?
I mean, if your feature consists of like a hook and a verse, yeah, you can play features.
Okay,
but
yeah, if you add features into that, like Chris was going crazy.
So the point is, like, battles should be first of all, you should save some of these battles because like while IG Live is cool, I think we'd be much better on a bigger platform. And I know some people say, you know, I like the dirtiness of it, but these like a Chris Brown Usher battle is something that
I need dancing and shit. Like, I needed it to be a full performance.
Like, I just wanted to be available on places more than IG Live. Like, the thing I like about what Questlove does on his nightly DJ sessions, because, like, I go to sleep listening to Questlove DJ sessions because they're dope. But he puts them on YouTube, so I can put them on my big TV. Like, RZA and Premier, I want to put that on my big TV. Like, I don't want to look at it from my phone. I can put it up to speakers and Bluetooth it through, like, to my sound bar and all that, but I don't want to do all that. I want to have it big. I don't want you picking any ass so-so R&B artist battling other R&B artists. I don't want that shit to happen. Don't do that. These battles, like Teddy Riley and Babyface? Yeah, okay, cool. I can do that. That's a huge battle. But then when I start seeing these, like, meandering-ass producers, like, yeah, I want in on it. Ugh, I don't want that.
That's where it ends. Chris got some... That's tough.
Look, man.
Yeah, no one watches anyone, but that's good.
It's a good.
There's other good battles, yeah, to be had if need be. You touched on The Weeknd. I don't.
Man, get him out of here.
The Weeknd was in a battle. Weeknd and Party Next Door is the endless battle.
I mean, because, yeah, you can argue that those two.
The Drake connection.
Yeah, they've basically hawked each other for their careers, but yeah. But,
yeah.
And I pick Weeknd in that battle.
Weeknd watched. Yeah, he watches it. Like, there's peers for The Weeknd to battle. Usher is not a peer of The Weeknd.
No, it's like The Dream. That's a guy who's just got a catalog. That he could, like, pull out songs. You'd be like, oh.
Oh, The Dream just battled someone, too. We missed that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, fair. That guy could do a battle. He'd be like, cool, I can do that. Like,
cool, yeah.
The Weeknd needs not to battle anybody. I don't give a shit. Like, first of all, I haven't enjoyed a Weeknd album in a long time. I've enjoyed a couple of songs.
That's painful. His first two albums were good.
Well, The House of Balloons and The Trilogy, yeah, those are dope. After that...
No, those mixtapes. But
whatever.
Yeah.
They got released as an album. Continue. As a triple album. The Trilogy, that's what they were called.
Yeah.
But after that, cool. They were good. But I wouldn't put that in a battle.
No, I'm not putting that in a battle either.
Hell yeah, I'm not doing
it. But his features help him a lot.
Yeah, but... Like... If Drake came out and wanted to battle somebody, everybody'd be in trouble.
Drake. Yeah, Drake has no peers in what he does.
It's frightening.
Because who are you going to say? Drake and Kendrick? Like, Drake and Cole?
It's frightening.
They're not even aiming to do what he does.
No, Drake has a completely different reach that goes beyond what every other artist has right now.
You'd have to say Drake and Wayne would have to battle.
Yeah, I think Drake would wash Wayne.
Because they're the same people from two different, you know, from like two different eras, kind of, back to back.
Yeah, I think Drake would wash Wayne, though. And because the reach, again.
Wayne got lyrical shit. But yeah. I mean, if we're going straight hits, but if Wayne wanted to start dropping deep cuts.
I mean, that's cool. That's a different kind of battle, though. That's a battle, and this is a battle that I'm going to put out. And somebody's going to run with this. Drake and Kendrick, I mean, not Drake and Kendrick. Wayne and Kendrick. Could have something pretty interesting. Wayne's got a lot of work, though. Because that run from between, like, Carters 2 and 3, wow. And I wasn't even a huge fan.
A lot of mixtapes.
He just didn't go, away. Like, he did, like, a billion features.
Yeah.
So he pulls out a lot. But it's like, Drake is, like, an unfair battle for an artist to deal with. Because he's just, there's just too much. There's too much work.
Yeah, Drake is... a pop star at this point.
Yeah, he's...
And I don't say that negatively.
No, he's...
Like, he's in a different stratosphere. Like, Drake can battle Chris Brown if he wanted to.
Yeah, and he'd murder him.
Like...
He'd murder him. He would murder Chris Brown. Dude, there is no artist in that kind of a battle where it's, like, hits and, like, big songs. Like, Drake... Because he'll, like, all right, cool, I'm going to play... Chris Brown will body you in your own shit. No guidance. Boom. I'm going to do that. Then he just goes, I'll do like Aston Martin music. Or like he can like...
Yeah, Drake got a lot of shit.
It's,
and the diversity of that is bananas.
He gives you so many different moods, so it's hard for an artist to battle him. But I like...
Yeah, he's just fluid through so many genres.
But see,
I just can't.
That's ultimately... I like... the idea of the battle, I just don't want to see these people just keep trotting out these battles. Because it's only been 3 weeks. If we got to be quarantined for another 2 months, y'all going to burn out all the goddamn battles? It's going to be like, it's going to be like some trash. It'll be like, no disrespect because I like both of their work. Summer Walker and like Ari Lennox will have a battle. I'm like, dude, come on. You guys just put out music. I like both of their work, but there's no need for a battle. Relax.
Yeah, that's true. And no one, again, Drake is at the highest of highs, but yeah, the stuff that whacks out the battles is these lower level battles, where it's like, no one asked for that.
Yeah, I don't want that.
No, like, come on. No one is asking for this battle right now. Man, yeah, so that's pretty much it. Are you jumping on the IG Live, the whole wave of it? Will we see the old man Andreas Hale on IG Live?
I don't even use my Instagram. Like, I have it. I don't post. Like, you guys never see me post anything. I may post a story here and there, but I don't post anything on it. It's just too much to keep up with. If my job tells me I have to do something, great. But I'm going to tell you guys right now, like, I think it, because it's so impossible to monetize it, I don't see any perk. Like, it's cool, but it goes away. That's my problem with IG Live. It's like, you do it, and then it's gone. Unless somebody records it in shitty quality on their iPhone. But I'd rather do stuff still on, like, YouTube because it stays there forever.
No, that's fair. I feel like that nostalgia of it, of like, oh, we could tune in right now and look, there's 350,000 followers. That's what people are hyped up about more than anything.
Yeah, again, that's cool. It's just, man, when we grab onto something as a community, as a culture, we squeeze blood out of a fucking turnip. We will not let it go. Stop. I don't need a, like, IG Live battles should be like, just paste them shits. Because God forbid we're in this goddamn quarantine for like 4 months. What are y'all gonna do? Save some of it. You could do like a battle a week or every 2 weeks. Give me something that I want more of until you burn it out and I don't want it anymore at all.
That's fair. I think that's a good way of going about it. But we'll see.
Oh.
That's not how we work.
One more battle. Like, people talk about Beyonce, and there's going to be people like, nobody can beat Beyonce. Janet fucking Jackson. Good luck beating Janet.
That is tough. You don't think Mariah beats Janet?
Ooh. No, I don't. But, ooh, that's a
good one. Yeah, that's who you'd have to put up. That'd be her closest comparison. Yeah.
No. Mariah's a good one. Like, because, you know, some people be like, Mariah, like, with Whitney, but that's, like, singing. Like, Mariah had hits. I don't even like Mariah's music, but I could recognize a hit when it's a hit. Mariah had some hits. But Janet, man.
Mariah had joints. Mariah's was more spaced out, too.
I mean, shit, Janet was, like, 2 decades long.
Really?
Hell yeah. I mean, you're talking about...
No, it was, like, end of the 80s.
No, it was not.
And it was done by 98.
It was not the end of the 80s. It was the beginning. It was, like, the early mid-80s. Janet, come on, man.
What am I missing from that Janet catalog?
I mean, you missing Control. You missing Rhythm Nation. Like, you missing, I mean.
I thought that was like 87.
That was like, God damn, the Janet album. That was, let's see. I'm going to look. Janet's first album came out in 82.
Yeah, me too.
Demeter Joe came out in 2004. Velvet World, which a lot of people consider her opus of work, was in 97. But then you just start talking about hits with Janet Jackson. And when you talk about hits with Janet, because it's not just, it's like she wasn't the greatest singer, but she made...
Rhythm Nation was 89. So I'll give you 87 through 99.
You got to give me 86 at least. And like, you got to give me 86 at least. And then you just got to talk about what have you done for me lately. And you got to talk about Rhythm Nation and Miss You Much. And you got to talk about If... That's the Way Love Goes still slaps to this day.
Damn, you're right.
I Get So Lonely?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's it's
probably 86.
Like, dude.
That's tough.
You just got to cut.
Mariah would be the only one. Because Mariah's longevity was up there.
It'd be fun. Like, those are the battles I would like to see. But then, this is other thing. Then we can get out of here. This is other thing where it's like, I kind of wish that, you know, the artists host their session, but there's, like, DJ mixing their shit.
Oh, yeah. Just how you play the music and what flows into what makes such a big difference.
Like, pushing buttons is, like, that's cool, but I like the mixing element of a mixtape. Like, I like when DJs used to battle because DJs would cut each other off with a joint. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to see.
Yeah, with artist songs... I would like for that to be controlled by a third party.
Yeah.
Like, don't even touch, like, maybe tell a story behind it, do a little riff, sing, whatever, comment with the people, But you give your 20 to the DJ, you give your 20 to the DJ, and let them spin it in and out.
Yeah.
You just got to find DJs.
That's
so
much better.
Just don't have some DJ and fuck your shit up.
Yeah. Leak your list to the other person. They just crush your whole shit. Oh, man. Nah, that'd be crazy. We'll see. These are some great hypotheticals. People will be talking. If you guys have your idea on who wins these, some of the, you know, hypothetical battles we touched on, hit us up. Make sure you guys enjoy the DJ Premier RZA battle this weekend. Next week, we'll be back with another pro wrestling show and another one of these hodgepodge shows as well. We want to thank you guys for always supporting us. Shout out to the sponsors and to the network Blue Wire for having us on every week. Make sure you guys follow us on social media at Corner Podcast _, me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. For right now, though, it's been a good hour and a half. We're out.
Peace.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.